You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Revealing Better Results. I'm your host, Garland L. McLaughlin, also known as the Consulting Guy. And today's show is being sponsored by Magic City Hi-Li, Exquisite Barista Services, and Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Today we have a special guest on the show with us, Mr. Leon Shepherd, a.k.a. Tevin. Tevin is a seasoned Hi-Li player and is partly responsible for the sport's resurgence and interest down in Florida. Welcome to Revealing Better Results, Tevin. How are you today?
Hey, man. Thanks. I really appreciate it. I'm doing fine, man. Just enjoying myself and having a good time.
All right. Well, how did it all start? What drove you to learn and to dominate the game of Hi-Li?
Well, I'm an inner city kid, grew up playing basketball, baseball, football. I was a baseball high school standout, All-American in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And for my 18th birthday, they took me to Hi-Li. And I'd never seen a sport before. And as soon as I saw the guys, you know, playing the game, I fell in love instantly.
Wow.
So probably that weekend we were bowling and a couple of highlight players came into the bowling alley and they were throwing a wiffle ball around with the cesta. So I was like, oh shoot, you know, can I try it? And they said, sure. And, you know, I played baseball, so I'm left-handed. So the basket has to go on your right hand. So I could visually see the ball going in, but it was difficult to catch it because there's no squeezing. You know, you got to cradle it. They said, well, let's go outside. We went outside the bowling alley, had a tennis ball. And, you know, right from then, I wanted to play the sport. And then I started going to the amateur Hi-Li in Milford, Connecticut. And I played probably 8 hours, 8-10 hours a day. I closed the building from sun up to sundown.
Wow.
And in 2 years, my game was pretty decent. And so I wanted to try out at Milford Hi-Li. And the player's manager told me that the roster was full and that next season they would be interested.
Okay.
So I said, thanked him for the tryout. And I called Orlando Hi-Li. And he asked me to come down. He wanted to see me try out. And I drove to Orlando, tried out. He said, fine, you can start next weekend.
Okay.
So I was, you know, ecstatic, man. I was like, wow, you know, play this game. And went back to the hotel. I called my mom. I told her to call Milford, tell them I'll be here if, you know, if they're looking for me, because I really wanted to play home in Connecticut.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that weekend, that Saturday, one of Milford's highlight players blew out his knee. So I got a phone call to come home that, you know, I had a spot. I could start Sunday.
Wow.
So I had to break the news to the Orlando players manager, you know, because I didn't sign the contract, but we had a verbal agreement. But I, you know, explained to him, hey, I'd rather be home and I got an opportunity. He wasn't particularly happy, but, you know, he understood. So I went home, and that's when Tevin was born. I started playing Milford Hi-Li, 1992, August of 92.
Wow. Okay. Because I'm from Massachusetts, and, you know, when I was, I'd say around 92, 93, I was about 14, 15, and, you know, we used to drive down to Connecticut past Milford, and I always wondered what type of game was that they were playing, because the parking lot was always packed.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, it's just amazing to me. But yeah, from the documentary, Magic City Hustle, you know, you shared that you were the only black guy representing High Life for a while. And how did you get past that and, you know, just develop into a top-notch player?
Well, in the game, you know, you can be complacent in anything. And, you know, that's just not who I am. So I already have a challenge that I'm naturally left-handed. So I had more to prove. So, you know, just playing against the best players, competition every night, you know, because we play all year round. And, you know, your mind is just continually wanting to get better. And then as you see the success, you continue to try to be the best at what you do. So that's what drove me. There was another black player, James Folston. He played at Milford from 92 to 96, I believe. He was a former NFL player, too. And wow. He took me under his wing. He was a backcourter. But, yeah, he gave me just, you know, the ins and outs of understanding how to be a professional and, you know, what you need to do. Because back then, you know, I had a problem with the crowd because I've played, you know, in front of 6,000-7,000 people. But when they're betting their money, they call you just about any name in the book. And being from the inner city, that was tough to deal with the first 2 years. I got fined $200 nine times, and then I got suspended all in, like, 2 months time period. So when I came back off my suspension, the player's manager told me, he said, listen, you know, you got to figure this out. You know, you have to understand that the people are paying your salary. The people, you know, they're paying, you know, allowing you to be able to play. So that's when I learned to, you know, detach my ears from my heart. And, you know, that's difficult, but I did it, you know, and it made me a much better player because, you know, I was able to focus and, you know, not to react to, you know, what the people say.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, who are some of the players that you had sort of a personal competition with or against?
Oh, man. You know, I was very fortunate to play with the best player in the world at the time, which was Bolivar. And he was 42 years old. I always heard about him. But until you're on the court, and this is what I think the Magic City tournament, you know, identified for the amateurs, that, you know, it looks easy, but when you're on the court with a professional, a seasoned professional, they make the game look so much easier. And Bolivar, you know, back then I could get to just about any ball. You know, I had silly speed. My legs were, you know, supple. I could run and jump. And he just controlled the point where, you know, he was playing chess and we were playing checkers. That's my analysis of how good he was at 42. You know, I can't imagine, you know, I always heard about him when he was 20 in his prime. But to be able to play with him for 4 years definitely helped me. You know, and then coming to Miami in 2002, Goicoechea, Michelena, you know, Ricalde, you know, these are the top names at the time who were, you know, dominating the sport. And I had a chance to compete against them and win.
Right. Wow. Hey, that is, wow, not too many people have that story, being able to say, hey, You competed against the top players in the world on a regular basis.
Yeah, and then Milford held a annual tournament. It was called the World Series of High Life. They would invite the best players, the best teams from each fronton, from Tampa, from Miami, Dania, overseas, all to come to Milford and play in a competition. So you would play, and whoever scored the highest point total for the 3 days played a partido to 15 points. And I won three of those in my career. So to be able to, and with different backquarters too. So, you know, that's something that I take pride in because, you know, that's not an easy task. First, you have to qualify. You know, you have to have the highest top 2 point totals, and then you have to go out and win the 15-point partido. So I beat Goi Cachea 1 year. I beat Ricalde and Alberti. And those are like three of the top teams. You know, they were better highlight players than me, but I was the better athlete, and I wanted it more. You know, I think Goico, he said I had too many legs on the court at one time. You know, I just couldn't get the ball past me. So those are fond memories, and just a testament of my work ethic and, you know, how I respect the sport. And that's one thing I will say about the culture, the Basque culture, the French, the Mexican, they never saw race. You know, if you could play, they, you know, didn't care what color you were. You know, I've been to Spain twice. I played over there, France twice, and was treated with nothing but respect.
Wow. Wow. Well, this year, we won't be seeing you return. You were playing for Dania at their Fronton?
Yes. Yes, I retired December 13th. I played my last game. You know, we had to shut down for the pandemic for 6 months, and then when they announced coming back, I wasn't going to come back and finish the season. I was going to retire then. But, you know, I signed the contract, and so I talked with Benny, and he's the player's manager. And I said, listen, you know, I'm going to come back and finish the season, but, you know, this is going to be my last. You know, so I had already, you know, decided that I wasn't going to play anymore. The game, I can still play, but I can't compete. And I always said, if it comes to a point where, you know, I can't compete against the best, or my game is no longer at the point where I feel I'm competitive to win, I would walk away. So that was that made part of my decision easy.
Okay. Well, what do you think some of the things some of the players would say? Since you're not on the court this year, you know,
I think they have so much respect for me. I mean, they showed it the last day. You know, they understood. You know, to play 20. I played with some of those guys' fathers, so you know, there's five or six kids on the roster that I played against their dad. So you know, they have admiration for me. So I think they're going to miss that part of, you know, like, the father figure. You know, they could always come to me. I'm the president of the union, so if there's issues, you know, I try to keep the guys calm down when things go awry. So I think they're going to miss that part. And I think most of them, just like I said, they just enjoy having me in the locker room.
Okay. Well, how did you get the nickname Tevin?
Well, like I said, I had drove to Orlando, and when I got the news to come back to Connecticut, I drove back and I had a Tevin Campbell tape, and I played it the whole way home. Okay. And when the owners of Milford asked me what name I wanted to play on, I was going to play under Leon, you know, my first name. And they had a player named Liam, which was spelled L-I-A-M. That was Bill McConaughey. So they asked me if I could pick another name, and Tevin came to mind. So I just told him, okay, let's go with Tevin.
Okay. Well, what would you be doing if you couldn't continue playing? Well, you just said that you didn't think you would be able to compete anymore. So what do you think you're going to do now?
Well, you know, now I'm going to chase the golf ball. I'm playing a lot of golf right now. I'm going to work on my game for another year. My birthday is January 17th, so I'll turn 49, and I'll work on my game another year, and I'm going to go ahead and swing at the senior tour. And that's my plan.
Okay. Now, are you going to pass down the highlight gene to your children?
No, my son, they just, you know, they never grasped to it. Because of Magic City, it's possible that they could, you know, play. But right now, you know, they don't play at all.
Okay. Do you think in the future, since you're retired, would you start a school, a highlight school, your own school, or, you know, get into operations?
I've been talking Yeah, I've been talking with my brothers, and he brought it up because he was there for my last performance. And afterwards, we went out and, you know, talked about everything. And he always wanted to have a highlight, you know, and this would be a great place to start an amateur highlight for, you know, teach kids and have them learn how to play. Yeah, that definitely is an option. And then also, you know, I wouldn't mind working with the Magic City group again because, okay, you know, those guys have so much potential and they're just lacking the little things that, you know, I know and could help them, you know, take their game to the next level.
Okay. Okay. Well, who else would you like to thank for encouraging you to continue moving forward, to have a successful career, and, you know, when times were tough, to continue playing at that top level?
You know, definitely my mother and father. You know, they always been the backbone. You know, I suffered a tragedy. My 15-year-old daughter in 2015, she had taken her own life. So that really set me back, you know, and I have to definitely thank Ara, the player's manager at Miami, because I found out during the 11th game and, you know, I completely lost it. And he was like, you know, the broad shoulders that just, you know, helped me through until I got home. And then, you know, all the way through, the whole group of guys there, they were so supportive.
Well, that's good. That's
my
good.
All the players, managers that I played under, Gerby, Chiruka, Ricalde. Wow, there are so many people. Mike Lindbergh, he was definitely a influence on me. Learning the game, his brother played professional highlight too. John Segura, Mike Kolaskis, these are all guys, you know, back home in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Who were there for me, like my inner circle.
Okay.
You know, because playing highlight, you know, you have to deal with the crowd. And like I said, my first 2 years, it was very difficult because, you know, I'm inner city kid. You know, you talk trash to me, I'm talking trash back. You can't do
right.
that. You know, the state says, hey, you open your mouth, they're going to find you. So all of those things have been internalized. And looking back on it, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. You know, I keep saying, you know, if I could have played baseball, but highlight just, it was something that just, it was in me once I saw it. Once I started playing, I knew that I was going to play this game. And because of the challenges it presented night in and night out, is just, you know, I don't do drugs, but it's like a high. You know,
right.
I can't describe it no other way. It's like you get out there, once that ball's in the air, then you got guys, you know, who are trying to take the point away from you. You want to kill them too. So, you know, it's just an awesome feeling. Awesome feeling. You know, before my injury, and that's what really changed my decision, because I probably could have played another 2 years, but when I tore my quadricep tendon 2 years ago, I didn't think I was going to come back. And I remember I served the ball, and the guy took the serve, and he was getting ready to throw a layup. And I saw it, and when I cut, I heard a pop, and I went straight down to the ground. And so I'm laying on the ground. I knew something bad happened, and they had to carry me off. And so I said, you know, I have to come back and leave on my feet. So I bust my butt in rehab and got back and was able to return to play. But then when COVID hit, that kind of, you know, took everything. But then I couldn't rehab anymore. And like I said, with the 6 months off, trying to come back after that, that made it more difficult. So,
right. Wow.
That was pretty difficult. But made it through it, so no, I have no complaints.
All right. Well, yeah, you made it through, and you've had a great career. And I definitely want to thank you for coming on the show today. It's been an honor for me to have you on the show. I've heard so much about you and watched so many highlight films of you. And, I'm just glad you came on, you know. And for everybody out there, you've been listening to Revealing Better Results. I'm your host, Garland L. McLaughlin. And have a great week, everyone.
Stay strong and fight for what is right. Stand up and never tire. Open your mind, see through the lies, the truths to be admired. Embrace your past to strike the match that sets your soul on fire.
It's a great feeling seeing your Chime app notification on your mobile device. When you receive direct deposits in your Chime account, you're in total control of your finances. It's banking without the fees. Sign up with my referral link and you and I receive $50.
What?
That's right. You and I receive a referral bonus of $50 after sign up and direct deposit activation. Use referral link chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin. That's chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin. It's that simple and it's free. It only takes about 2 to 3 minutes to complete, and you'll be on your way to being in total control of your finances. You'll start building a positive reflection of your credit history, and that will really make a difference. Referring friends and family to the Chime family is one of the most financially rewarding experiences anyone could have. Sign up today. Chime.com/R/GarlandMcLaughlin.
Space, a final frontier.
Tune into Revealing Better Results on EPRN. Better yet, download the Exquisite Podcast Radio Network app at app.eprn.us. Don't forget to listen to all the shows on EPRN and tell a friend to listen in at www.eprn.us.